32. Three words. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Now, if you're familiar with this portion of the passage of Scripture, you understand that this is an end time setting. It's a time of the Lord telling about what would take place when the Son of Man and His hour has come. Of course, He starts there in verse 26 with the days of Noah. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And so He's setting a time like in the days of Noah. Everything was going fine. Everything was going well. Until the day Noah entered that ark and the Lord shut that door. When the Lord shut the door of the ark, the wrath of God was poured out. And then He mentions here about Sodom and Gomorrah there in the days of Lot in verse number 28. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought and sold and planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So just like in those days, these are Bible events that we've read about, studied. Many of you probably have taught Sunday school lessons about the days of Noah. I don't know if anybody has been in church any period of time and has not heard the story of Noah, the great flood. And yes, I do believe what the Bible says, that the flood covered the mountaintops and everything was destroyed, save those that was in the ark that was built by Noah, and his family came off and God restarted with them. I am also glad that God's a God of new beginnings. Amen. He could have destroyed Noah. Could have just started over. But He allowed and a new beginning. He could have destroyed everything in Sodom and Gomorrah. I do believe that with all my heart, fire and brimstone fell. I do believe Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. Well, preacher, why? Maybe it's pictures. Maybe the Bible is very plain and very clear about what happened. And the Bible always makes clarity whenever it's a pictorial picture or something. These are facts that happen, really happen. I do believe that the earth and everything that is around us was created in six literal days, not thousands and thousands and thousands of years. I don't believe there was some kind of gap between verses and that God just thought it not important to say when He said the evening and the morning was the first day. It was the first day. And on the seventh He rested, and so I believe that. So, well, you're kind of narrow-minded there, preacher. I just want to be right with God. The majority may believe something, but it doesn't make it so. Me and you and God is right. And that's where we need to be at. And so, for some reason, I'm not sure why, but all of a sudden, here in verse 32, three words God decided to put in His Bible. Remember Lot's wife. And I thought about it. Why in this fact, why right now, of all the women in the Bible? Of course, Mother's Day's coming up, and we're building towards that. But why all the women? Well, you know, why not Hannah? I mean, you think about it. Why not Ruth? But right here, remember Lot's wife. So I began to think and study and try to look back and see. And the first thing I notice about her life is that she had great privilege. If you know about and study the life of Lot, Lot was called out of the land of Ur with Abraham. She was there during all this time where Abraham was being used of God and being brought out to be brought and to bring a nation out. So she had great privileges there. And you know, the great call of faith as we talk about in Genesis chapter 12. We'll not go back and read all that for the sake of time. But that is when Abraham was called out. And of course, he brought Lot and all them with him. You know, and she was there at the altar of the life when Abraham laid out that altar. And, you know, went up on the mountaintop there, and all the things that happened, the privilege. Look over, hold your place there, and look over in Luke chapter 12, because we're going to come right back to those three words. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 48. Luke 12 and verse number 48, the Bible says in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 48, "But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes." Boy, it's good to hear all those Bible pages turning, so I'll wait and get back and start again. Luke 12, 48. "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." She had great privilege. I mean, when you think about the privilege, it doesn't start there. Even after all the decision, the decision that went forth, where Lot would take the plains of Shinar and Abraham would take the leftover, and they would look down and sit their tent upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Not many years after that, five kings came out of the north, and they took over Sodom and Gomorrah and took everything captive. And guess who was part of that group that was still captive? Lot and his wife. I mean, great privilege to have 318 trained men of Abraham to come and to rescue you out of that and bring you back and not even want a shoe latchet of all your property. I mean, the king said, let me give you this. And Abraham said, "No, I don't even want it to be spoken that you have made me rich. I want God to have all the honor and glory." So great privilege that she enjoyed there. She enjoyed the generosity of Abraham. How do you think Lot got wealthy? Everything there was Abraham's. He was the patriarch. But through the generosity and giving of Abraham, Lot became a pretty wealthy guy because it caused problems between the two. And so much that the servants of Lot and the servants of Abraham began to strive against one another to set the picture there. So great privilege that was given there. I mean, look with me over in 2 Peter. Hold your place back in Luke. Look in 2 Peter, back towards the end of the Bible. After the book of Hebrews, you find Hebrews. Keep on going a few pages, a few chapters. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. In verse number 7, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, listen to what it says here. We'll go to verse 6. Verse 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly." Verse 7, "And delivered," listen to what it says, "just Lot, vexed with filthy conversations of the wicked, for that righteous man," this is talking about Lot, "for that righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Not only did she have privileges knowing Abraham, but somehow or another along the line, Lot became righteous in the sight of God, and she had a righteous husband, though he didn't live righteous. But it was far different than some women live under today. There are some women who live under some horrible situations. But right here, the privilege of even having a righteous husband, though he wasn't living right. Quite the privilege here. So God says to us in Luke 17:32 that we are to remember Lot's life. So I would encourage you to think first and remember the privilege that she enjoyed as a lost person. Well, preacher, how do you know she's lost? The end story told it all. The end story. Now, I will submit to you today that we live in a day of very much and great religious privilege. I don't know a time in history where there's been this many churches on every corner. We get calls quite regularly asked from churches, groups that are meeting with church. They want to come and meet here on a different hour here at our church. You're talking about confusion. How will that work? That's not a God of confusion. But there's churches everywhere you go. There's church left, right to us here, church over there. There's churches coming up everywhere, and praise be to God. If there's people, we got people all over the place. What I'm saying is there's a great privilege in which we live in today with the availability of churches. Not only that, I think about the radio and television ministries that's throughout the world. And forget that. Talk about the internet. I mean, you can the internet's got its bad, and it's always promoted with its bad, but you can go on and find all kind of religious programs and Bible programs and theological programs on the internet, and you get there the abundant supply of Bibles. I mean, you can go into Dollar Tree down here, and you can buy a whole Bible for a dollar. Most of us have several Bibles at our home. I'm talking about privilege right now. You remember Luke chapter 12 and verse 48? I hope so. Where the Bible says that to much is given, much is going to be required. And God said in the last day, Brother Ray, that we're to remember Lot's wife. We're talking about the privilege here now. You know, the many books that have been written, theological books. I mean, I've got a library over there, just books and books and books written by men. Of course, that we can all get our hands on. Now, many of you may own a Kindle, and you can download any kind of book or an iPod, even on your phones now. I think you can download books on your phone, and you can read theological books, blogs, Facebook posts and Pinterest and all this here. The privilege I'm talking about right now that we live in, dear friend, we live in a greater time of privilege than she ever did. And God said, remember Lot's wife. And when was he talking about? The end times. Towards the end. So God's given us a warning about a woman that had all kind of privileges but did not do anything with those privileges. May I say to you today that religious privilege does not save you. I think about a young man by the name of Gehazi. Gehazi was the servant to Elijah in 2 Kings chapter number 5. In 2 Kings chapter number 5, here come Naaman, a man of Syria, and he had a leprosy, and he was covered head to toe with leprosy, and there was a little bitty young lady that had been taken captive, and it was a servant in her house, and Naaman was wanting to be healed, and this little girl said, if he was only back in my land, back where there was a prophet, there could probably be some hope. Naaman makes the trip. Naaman comes up upon the king there and tells the king, has a letter from his king. And the king says, what am I going to do? What am I, God? I can't heal leprosy. But he sent him to the man of God's house. And here comes Naaman and his whole entourage. Listen, he was a very important man in Syria. Assyria. He was very important. It's so much that the king, his own king, was willing to give help and to give letters. He gets up there to Elisha's house, and I don't know if it was him knocking or if he got one of his guys off the horse to get out and knock or whatever. All of a sudden, he knocked and knocked and knocked. Elisha stayed inside talking with God, and Gehazi came out. And Gehazi steps out there and says, the prophet said, go dip in the Jordan seven times. Elisha didn't even come out of the house. It offended Naaman. Naaman went on about the way. One of his guys talked him into going and dip. On the way down there, Gehazi thought in his mind. I'm talking about the one that was servant to Elijah. Elijah did more miracles than Elijah. We're talking about a privileged man, Gehazi. Guess what happened to Gehazi? Ended up with leprosy. His privilege of being part of Elisha's group in a circle did not save him. Did not. I think about Demas. Do you understand about Demas? Demas in the New Testament was friend with Apostle Paul. Demas, after studying this out, Brother Lee, Demas spent 2 years under house arrest with Paul. But the latter testimony of Demas by Paul was this. He loved this present world and has forsook me. What privilege? That's still not convincing, Pastor. Okay, how about this one? Judas. called by Jesus Christ to follow him, saw miracle after miracle after miracle, was sent out two by two, and did miracle after miracle after miracle, and betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss, hung himself, and his bowels gushed out, and in hell he lifted his eyes. Privilege does not save. But I will say to you that privilege has responsibility. It has responsibility. And God said, remember Lot's wife. Well, the only way to remember Lot's wife, you've got to know about Lot. So we've studied, we saw where she's at, and she was very privileged. You know what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12? The Bible says this, where iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax. Where are we at now? Iniquity on every, sin on every corner. Turn the television on, sinful situations. Turn the radio on, sinful situations. Turn on the internet, sinful situation. With all this privilege that we have here, all the light that's been given through churches everywhere, missionaries everywhere, Bible printing ministries everywhere, literature, scriptural printing literatures, and the iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax. I'm amazed at the amount of people who have been given the great privilege to have a new name written down in heaven, to be born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and are not found faithful to the things and calls of God. Privilege. Remember Lot's wife. Then begin to think. If we remember how privileged she was, maybe we should remember the prayers by relatives. You understand something? Abraham was a man of prayer. Abraham prayed and talked with God and was considered a friend of God, that when God came down to check out personally and physically and firsthand whether or not the things that was coming up out of Sodom and Gomorrah was so, that he stopped by Abraham's tent. And what did Abraham do? He interceded in prayer for that whole city, but especially Lot and his family. Well, how do you know that, Prince? Because he started out with 50 and ended up with 10, and he figured out the math, and he said, okay, surely Lot and his family, surely there's 10, and Sodom and Gomorrah would still stand. Do you understand that the prayer of Abraham brought down angels to enter into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah to go out and to literally, physically pull Lot and his younger daughters out? That's the prayers. I think we better remember the prayers. I'm telling you here something, dear friend. If you're sitting here lost without Christ, or you're backslidden and you're not living for God, you're out there just living as you want and doing as you please, and your eyes are set upon doing everything that is right in your own heart, you better remember the prayers that have been offered and lifted up for you, because not only are you privileged in this day and age, you are prayed for and interceded for by many, by mom, by grandma, by uncle, by an aunt, by a church, by a Sunday school teacher. Better remember the prayers that was offered up for Lot. And understand this. The great Abraham, father and nation of Israel, the patriarch, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob mentioned, didn't save Lot's wife. You better remember, you prayed for it. That's why we're here at the church. We have a 6 o'clock prayer meeting. We intercede. We put lost people's name down on our prayer list. At 9:30, we have men's prayer meeting over here and ladies' prayer meeting over here. I hope you're still remembering. It ain't just to have a time to pray. It is to intercede on behalf of those who need prayers. But the prayers didn't save her. They brought angels. But not even the angels could save Lot's wife. So remember the privilege. I think you better pay attention and remember the prayers that were offered. But more importantly, I think we better remember the way she perished. The way she perished. In the midst of all of her possessions. Do you understand something? Her husband sit at the gate. Her husband was politically involved in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he sit at the gate and the possessions and the wealth and all the privilege that she enjoyed and all the goodness and all the things that she had. Everything that she could get her hands on. Couldn't save her. She still perished. You know, the Bible says, what can a man, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? This morning I ask you, you're sitting here lost without Christ and you don't know Jesus, your personal Savior. What are you trying to exchange? Here's a woman that moved up the ladder with her husband and probably prompted along many of the moves everything and getting him to do certain things by the conversations that they'd have along in their tent. And she ended up a pillar of salt with a testimony from God that said, remember Lot's wife. Her lot. Isn't this funny? Her lot became that of her treasures. They perished in Sodom and Gomorrah. All that she and Lot had gained, everything they had put together, all the 401ks, all the savings accounts, all the CDs, all the houses, all the lands, all the camels, and all the tents, and all the goods that they bought and sold and traded, destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah, and she did not have anything to exchange for her soul. Remember Lot's wife. What her looking back really revealed. This is what it revealed to me. Her disobedience. She was commanded. Come on, let's go. Don't look back. Come on, let's go. Her disobedience. One man's disobedience caused the whole entire world to fall into sin. And the destruction and the curse of the earth and all the turmoil and the birthing pains that you enjoy now, ladies, when you have a child, all that because of one man's disobedience. Well, preacher, my life is my life and the way I choose to live and what I choose to do, it's not going to affect no one. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow to the flesh, of the flesh you shall reap corruption. It also revealed to me her unbelief. All the privilege, all the times Abraham gathered up the family and they offered a sacrifice, they offered a lamb. All the times when Abraham rescued her out, you cannot tell me for once she wasn't doing some foxhole praying whenever those five kings had dragged her off. Oh, God in heaven, Father of Abraham, God of Abraham, if you just get me out of this, I promise you when I get back, I'll be the first one at the temple, the first one at the altar. I'll join the choir. I'll pray a vow. Lord, just get me up out of here. Been there, done that, haven't we? She didn't believe one moment of the prayers. She didn't believe that the destruction was fixing to fall, because if she had been, she would have went and not tell me this, women. Tell me this, ladies. I got excited there. Man, that sounded rough, didn't it? Sorry. Tell me, ladies. Which one of you with the natural love that you hold, because us men, we're fun. We're out there playing kids at the park. They get a bump on the head, get blood running down their neck, and we take out some of us just spit on our hand. You okay, dirt of hell? Get on up, boy, go! Not a lady. Oh, sweetie, come here. Oh, you're so good. Oh, baby, it's okay. You're going to be all right. When the angels came, who was the one that went to the other children's house? Study it out. It wasn't Miss Lot. It wasn't Miss Lot. You remember the story, the scripture I read in 2 Peter? This here, it vexed Lot's righteous soul to be there, and he was too much of a weakling to stand up and say, we're moving up out of here. You're not watching that. You're not going there. You're not wearing that. He allowed it to go. But when the angels showed up, he believed. His own kids mocked him. And this Lot was nowhere to be found. That's not natural, dear friend. That's not how a mama acts. You tell me this right now. You wake up in the middle of the night and your house is on fire. Where are you headed? You got little ones down on the other end and the fire's in there. Where are you headed, Mama? You're headed to the danger to get your child. Amen. Not Miss Lot. She didn't believe the destruction was coming. It revealed to me her bondage to the things of this earth. She was in bondage. What does the Bible say that Jesus wants to do? Set us at liberty. I am amazed at the amount of Christians that are in bondage to the things of this world. Do you not understand, dear friend, that we are living in a doomed place? I'm not a prophet of doom. I like positive. Brother Paul, I like being positive. I don't like being negative. I like to enjoy the positive. But I'm here to tell you that this earth and all that we know, it's going to come to an end. Everything you're working for, just like with Miss Lot, is going to perish. You're not carrying it with you. You're not carrying it to heaven. You're not going to be able to live at the gate, the pearly gate, and say, here's all my things, Lord. Let's exchange a little bit. He's going to say, what have you done with my son? It revealed to me the bondage of the things of this world. What's got you? I remember my pastor telling me, he was visiting, out knocking doors, and he was talking to a young soldier, I think it was an E4 and E5-1, and his wife, and they were there at the couch, and they'd come to church, and they'd said that they'd listen, but they were not saved, they were lost. And he'd been to Germany, and he had all those drinking mugs they have in Germany, I forget what they called. Steins. Had them everywhere. And beside each stein had a bottle of this and a bottle of that, a bottle of this. And my pastor was talking with him. And that pastor looked at him and said, What is holding you back from trusting Christ? He said, I know I'm going to hell. I know I need Jesus. I know that Jesus is the only one. Listen, knowing is not enough, for with a heart man believeth unto righteousness. Every one of you sitting here today believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you know it in your head, but in your heart do you know it? And he looked at my pastor and he said, if I give my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, my idols, my enjoyment has to go. You remember the story in the Bible about the young man who came, the young rich ruler who came and said to the Lord, Lord, what can I do to gain eternal life? And he went through a litmus test. He says, I've been nice, I've been good, I've been obedient, I've been kind, and all from my youth and from a small child, I've done all this stuff here. And the Lord looked at him and said, all you got, give to the poor. Listen, Lord don't want you running around being poor. You miss it. If that's what you're thinking, some of you are mad already. You selling nothing, I got it. That you missed it. The man had an idol. It was his things. The Lord said, you got to give it up. You got to give it up. What's keeping you from giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what's amazing? Her death was sudden. Her death was sudden. The Bible says when she turned and looked, boom, a pillar of salt. It's appointed when a man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. Oh, no, preacher, when I get ready to go, when I get ready to turn my life over, when I get ready to pass through to the other side, it's going to be a long process. I'm going to have some doctor visits. You know, they're going to tell me I got this sickness. I've got 6 or 7 weeks to 7 years, 8 years. And they're going to tell me I've got this amount of time. And then I'm going to get right. Drew told me the other day right down here in BBL, there was a man coming on his motorcycle. And as he came, a lady hit him, bang. Heaven or hell immediately. Death does not give you time. She turned and looked, bang, dead. And in hell she lifted her eyes. Remember Lot's wife. You know this is an amazing thing? She died in an act of sin. Oh, preacher, don't look back. See, that's our problem. If I'm not screaming up here to talk my lungs about some homosexual or some fornicator or some drug addict, we think we're okay. She died in an act of sin. She looked back, saying, no way, that's sin. You better go to James chapter 4. Him know it, do it right, to do good and not and do it not. To him, it is sin. In our religious circles, well, we point at everything. Remember Lot's wife. A warning. Of all the women, preacher, it's Mother Day's month, and you're fixing to ruin. No, I'm trying to help you, ladies. You don't have to be a Lot's wife. You don't. There's Hannah. Oh, good example. There's Mary. Not to be made to worship, but she found grace in the sight of God and was used mightily. And I ask you this morning, would you please, men and like, children, young men, young women, learn from Lot's wife. If the God in heaven would think it so important to put these three words in a verse, remember Lot's wife. Turn from those things that are holding you captive in bondage and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back. This is talking about the end days. But death may knock at your door before he comes back. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Candace is on her way. Kind of solemn message this morning. Remember Lot's wife. All the religious privilege, she died lost. All the great prayers that were offered for her, she died lost. pulling and tugging of the angels. And I say this morning, there's probably been some pulling and tugging of the Holy Ghost of God in your heart and life today. Because if you're not saved, you know. God doesn't, listen, God not living in you. You know.